The Bench. The Bench. On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
All right, welcome back. 10:04 on ESPN 97.5. John and Del now for the rest of the way here on ESPN 97.5. For the rest of the week, Del, that's it. What are you going to do this weekend? You what about that offer I made where you come over and we watch movies together and eat popcorn? And
I declined that offer when there was a chance a hurricane would run through my neighborhood. Mm-hmm. I'm certainly not going to do it now when there's going to be bright skies and no weather issues. I'm not hanging out with you. I don't want to.
Seems like that would be a lot of fun, though.
For who?
For us. As best friends.
I don't want to be your guest.
Yeah. No. I think it'd be pretty fun for us fellas to just hang out together.
Well, I don't think so. So, enjoy your weekend. I'm sure it'll be great. I'm sure there's some nondescript golf tournament you'll get to watch. But I'm not going to be part of it.
Yeah, we can watch golf together.
No.
Make grilled cheese sandwiches.
I don't want your Kraft singles.
Clowney's expected to sign with the Ravens.
Well, they do.
How about
like
that?
It's not a huge surprise considering the Ravens seem like the place guys love to go. And quality organization. Hey, we're not paying Earl. Well, I guess they still might have to pay Earl Thomas. But hey, one star out the door, we'll bring another one in.
Yeah, I just don't like him with the Ravens, if you want to know the truth.
Why, that's the case? Because you get to see him in week two? Is that you got a problem with that?
Well, no. Just they're getting better and better, and that's going to be a tougher road for our Texans to win the Super Bowl.
Well, you should take heart in knowing that you have Jack Easterby and Bill O'Brien to build your roster to compete with the Ravens. So don't worry about it.
What about Judon on one side and Clowney on the other?
I'm sure Deshaun's looking forward to it. Because it went so well the last time he saw the Ravens.
Yikes.
Now he's got probably a motivated,
now I don't want the
Clowney
season to happen.
Well, that'll be grand. You're coming off a Chiefs game that you're not expected to win, and your next game is Clowney, Judon, the rest of that Ravens defense.
Whoa. Calais Campbell, Brandon Williams, Derek Wolfe.
Yeah, all of them.
Holy crap. Patrick Queen.
Your guy?
My guy.
J.K. Dobbins on offense. Yeah, you're going to have – it's going to be a little
Marcus
salty.
Marcus Peters. Wow. They're pretty good, dude. I'm taking the Ravens to win it all.
You are.
I am.
You think they're going to actually win a playoff game this year?
That's the thing. That's the only problem that I'm having with this. With winning the whole thing, don't you have to win playoff games?
You might actually have to win that first playoff game.
Yeah. Andre Dillard is done for the season.
So
chop going up for OB and Brian Gain.
Oh, you're back?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, your mic's on again.
I'm still watching Popeye's fight compilations.
Why?
Chicken sandwich fight compilation. That's what you do on Fridays.
Are you going to roll out of the show during
a break?
During the break or during the segment?
During the show?
How about OB and Brett? Okay, I got to shut this one down. 100% Brian Gain and Bill O'Brien were not on board with Andre Dillard. They were not. Mental thing, like just personality wise, they were not on board with him. They saw some holes in his game. That has been disputed and will be disputed. I'm telling you with 100% certainty, they did like Titus Howard more than.
So, and they caught, and you know what?
Yeah.
You don't, I mean, there's so many.
That's why you got to let them play.
That's right.
And I mean, Bill O'Brien's credit, he said, let's let this play out with and if he ends up being right on all his stuff.
He said that about the Andre Hopkins, right?
Yeah, I'll give him credit for that. I don't have a problem giving credit where if I disagree and I miss, I don't have any problem.
Well, it's not about hey, David Johnson could play great and DeAndre Hopkins could play like crap. He still did not get enough for DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, I think that's a separate deal.
Yeah.
But getting rid of D-Hop, it may end up being a good move. We'll see. The Clowney thing, you know, Clowney does not have a football team right now. I don't agree with what they got for him, but...
Well, the Ravens, he's about to sign with the Ravens.
Maybe I'm wrong. Yeah, but we're sitting here almost to all the way.
Yeah.
Did Clowney just wait it out?
Yeah, maybe.
Because he didn't want to...
I don't like him with the Ravens, though. I'll tell you that right now.
Well, they're a culture team. Oh, yeah. As a Texan fan.
Yeah.
But... if Clowney was just kind of waiting it out so he didn't have to go through all these practices, wouldn't that concern you a little bit?
No.
It wouldn't?
Nope. I know what Clowney is.
Get rid of that.
I know what Clowney is. He ain't changed that. That lion ain't changing his stripes or whatever that saying is. That tiger, whatever it is.
The tiger doesn't change his stripes.
Yeah. Lions don't have stripes, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
That zebra ain't changing his stripes.
Or that, too. Yeah. You can use zebra, too.
So, no, that Jadeveon Clowney doesn't want to practice. Oh, well. Maybe he's just going to sign a one-year deal with the Ravens now and see, and then try to get another big contract next year, and that probably won't happen, and he'll just bounce around the league in one-year deals and not ever go show up for training camp. And you know what?
Well, he's going to be, like, those deals are going to get pretty low. The deals aren't going to offer much money if that's the case. At some point, you got to change your brand. Your brand can't be, I don't play hard. Bucky Brooks.
No, he plays hard. He doesn't practice.
Yeah, practice hard. See, I brought that up to Bucky Brooks. Bucky Brooks, when we did Move the Sticks 2 or 3 weeks ago, Bucky said he heard from people in the building that Jadeveon just wasn't a guy who was going to be a hard worker. It followed him all the way from South Carolina. This is kind of who he is, and they got a problem with it. But I did point out, I just thought in fairness, because I've heard that stuff, and I think it's probably accurate, or certainly has been, but I thought it was fair at least to bring up the point that when you watch Clowney play, when the lights are on, and especially from backside hustle plays where guys usually will shut down, guys with no motors will shut it down, Clowney still plays. I mean, Clowney still goes hard until the whistle. So it's kind of unusual for a guy not known to have work ethic, and that may be accurate, for him to actually have a motor that turns on during games and stays on. It's a little unusual, but it's also enticing because you just want him to get to a part at the point where he loves it enough to where he wants to, man, I know you like to play. If we could just get you to where you kind of love the process, we could end up having a special player. Guys who don't love process will never love the process.
No.
It doesn't change. Like, it's pretty rare for guys. They may see the game better. They may learn to study better. But if you are somebody who has been an anti-practice guy and you spend time in the trainer's room to get out of practice, I don't think it's ever going to magically change for you. That's who you're going to be.
Well, but here's the deal, though. He and DeAndre Hopkins, they perform on Sundays. Does it really matter? I mean, if, as long as they perform, are we okay with this? Not Bill O'Brien isn't, but there are coaches that are. Apparently, Cliff Kingsbury's okay with it.
I don't know that I'd use him. Kingsbury hasn't done anything in the league. Is Bill Belichick okay with it?
John Harbaugh's done something in the league. He's going to take on Clowney.
For a year. Big deal. So did Seattle.
Yeah.
1 year. You see him giving him money?
Took on his contract.
Made the Texans pay. Said, tell you what.
Well, we don't know. No. You said for a year. We don't know what the contract is.
Yeah. No. I said Seattle.
No. Right. But no, you said the Ravens. We don't know if it's just for a year.
Oh, if they're getting him this year. If they're getting him now, Clowney would be stupid to do anything more than a one-year deal. You're going to take a multi-year low-paying deal?
Why do you know it's low paying?
Because there's not going to be the money to pay him the money he wants.
Well,
I'd be shocked.
I don't know what the Ravens salary
is. Here's what I'd be shocked. A, Clowney would be stupid to sign more than one. I'm sure the Ravens would offer him 2 year with the ability to get out of it after one, or the ability to hang on to him if they like him at a discounted rate in year two.
Well, as far as the Seahawks, the reports were that they did offer him a deal, and it was supposed to be for 18.5 a year, and he didn't want it.
Yeah.
So the Seahawks were willing to pay. He just didn't like the amount they're willing to pay.
And we don't know what the contract looked like either.
18 and a half, dude. Take it. What's wrong with you, Clowney?
We don't know how long, when the true out was in the contract. But yeah, Clowney's played himself. Clowney, I think, misshot the mark on what his value was. Yeah. And now it's too late. Now he's played himself into a one-year deal where he's going to have a prove-it contract more than likely. Because he ain't getting 18 and a half now, if that were the case. You're definitely not getting a multi-year deal at that amount. It's just not going to happen. And I doubt the Ravens even have that kind of cap room to fool with.
I don't know what their cap space is. But I think you're assuming. We don't know what their offer is.
Tell you what, I'd be shocked in the middle of a pandemic if you're getting... If they're making him a priority.
It would be something if they decided to bring him in last second and pay him more than they're paying Matt Judon. Isn't there something about hierarchy on teams.
Oh, you ruin club chemistry when you pay a different guy and you don't pay your guy.
Yeah.
No, well, Judon's making a lot, 16-8. I'm just 16-8. Saying to pay Clowney more than you pay your own guy.
Didn't Judon just do a deal though? Isn't 16-8 might be the beginning of his deal. Right? What's his average going to be?
I have to look. I'm not sure. But I don't know if you just sign Judon and then bring a guy in who hasn't been part of your program.
Oh, no, this is the last year of Judon's deal.
Oh, so would he probably look even worse?
Yeah. I don't know what kind of cap totals. NFL salary cap, 198.2.
Well, Judon signed a one-year deal for this season.
For this season?
So I don't think they're giving Clowney, who isn't even their guy, a multi-year deal.
Right. Cap space. Oh, they've got negative $13 million in cap space right now, the Ravens. So this is going to be a big deal for Clowney.
Well, I want to see what the Ravens do to get some of their money back from Earl Thomas and see if they can get that done. And what we should talk about when we come back, I mean, the story's been out for a little bit, but Chris Haynes of Yahoo Sports has some information about what went on in those player meetings for the NBA. Let's just say Patrick Beverley, a little disrespectful.
Pat Beverley was, I'm sorry, did he have to mansplain to somebody?
Whoa.
Well.
We'll talk about it on the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5 is your home for sports talk. And now we're more talk with less commercials.
Are you serious?
Oh, it's true.
It's damn true.
Houston's only FM sports station, ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. Come on in. We only got about 40 minutes left here on this if for this week. This Chris Haynes article is pretty interesting. So, and I would imagine here's one thing he says. Many were frustrated and emotionally drained after being caught off guard by the Bucks' refusal to take the court Wednesday for Game 5. Players who were scheduled to compete in the ensuing games felt an obligation to sit out because the Bucks' decision wasn't part of an organized plan of action. So they did it unilaterally.
Yeah.
Well, it is their state that it happened.
It happened in Kenosha, Wisconsin, but if you're a player for a different team, you can't. It just makes the league look bad. It makes it look like there's division amongst you if you decide, nah, we're going to play. Because I know how it got played out that the Magic were all in. The Magic were on the court warming up. So clearly the Bucks didn't talk to them about it because they thought they're going to play. And now the initial thing was the Bucks were willing to forfeit and make it a 3-2 series as opposed to 3-1. The Magic, no, we're not going to accept the forfeit. But it was clear from the beginning that the Magic weren't involved and the Bucks were doing this on their own. And it leaked into the frustration in the meeting. Udonis Haslem, longtime member of the Miami Heat, been around for a long time. His veteran status allowed him to speak. And he said, what are you guys doing? Because George Hill said in a press conference, I don't even know what we're here for. Udonis was like, you know, not everyone can make that decision. There are young guys here who need this money. You're at a point in your career where sitting out the rest of the playoffs doesn't mean anything to you financially. It means something to these guys. So you can't come out and say that because it puts everyone in a weird position.
Some players took issue with Bucks guard George Hill, who was a central figure in persuading the Bucks not to play and who said on Monday, we shouldn't even came to this damn place. But Udonis Haslem, like you said, was a guy who spoke quite a bit. Haslem sent a clear message to Hill, stated that it was irresponsible and selfish for an established veteran to suggest that everyone should go home because younger players haven't accumulated the wealth for such a drastic action. Originally, I guess the Clippers and the Lakers both said that they had voted not to play anymore, but then they acquiesced. We're out, James said, and walked out with almost all of his teammates following behind, with Dwight Howard being the only Laker who remained.
Yeah, apparently Udonis, once again, Udonis has him said, this you lead this thing, man. Talking to LeBron, so you're the face. So you got to know whatever you decide is going to be a really big deal as far as where we go and how we go forward. And like LeBron was much like Udonis, wasn't thrilled with the Bucks because we all have to back you, but you don't have any real clear plans of how we come back from this if we all want to play. If how do we look? Don't look like, oh, okay, this was just something performative when there's no real plan
right.
to get some action done. So the story turns out that LeBron, who was he kind of wanted to play, and then he said, okay, I'll go with the majority on this. Turns out he wanted to play unless the owners did some, I guess, flagrant things that made him feel like they weren't a part of it. So he pushed for reform. He wanted them to be more involved in the community. And apparently whatever they told him was enough for him to say, okay, I'm going to stick with my original thing of playing. But the most disrespectful thing that happened in that meeting came from one of ours, mm-hmm. A guy we know as far as a former Rocket, Patrick Beverley. Patrick Beverley didn't take too kindly to Michelle Roberts, who is considered the, I forgot her.
Well, she's
title.
The executive director of the Players Union.
Yes.
She asked to have the floor to speak about the financial ramifications of leaving Orlando. While she was going over the numbers, Clippers guard Patrick Beverley abruptly interrupted her, saying he disagreed with her logic. Roberts kindly reiterated that these were potential losses the players would suffer, and Beverley interrupted again. Roberts asked politely if she could continue with her point, and Beverley responded, "No, I pay your salary." This caused an uproar with Paul, Haslam, and others who intervened and told Beverley that disrespect would not be tolerated.
No. You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
He did get a little out of order. There's no question.
Yeah. So somehow, some way, Patrick Beverley made himself a part of the story. Could have sat back and just listened, but nope. And he got, I guess, snitched on by people.
A significant source of frustration in Wednesday's meeting stemmed from players not being on the same page and letting emotions get the best of some. The hope from the collective was that after a good night's sleep, players would be in better shape. They arrived at the meeting when it was time to gather on Thursday. The meeting couldn't get underway, sources said, because the Lakers, there was one team missing, the Lakers. They got there 45 minutes late. Apparently, the Lakers and Clippers entered the meeting area. Members of the executive committee reached out to James and Lou Williams to see where their team stood on resuming play. And they said they were in. Wow.
So, just like any other organization, not everyone was pulling the same way.
Nope.
Not everyone was thinking the same way. So, just remember, when we get on our own high horse talking about, why can't these guys just do this? They don't all think the same way. They're going to have different opinions, and clearly not all the players wanted to stop playing basketball. The Bucks started something, and they all backed them because they didn't want to appear divided. And you saw from, or you're hearing from this meeting that they were, and they had to figure some things out.
Later that afternoon, a Zoom call between team owners and players. On the call, LeBron James was stern in calling on owners to do more in aiding the black community and to play more of a role in using the resources to combat systemic racism. James had already told players he was in, but depending on how the meeting went with the owners, he would have reversed course if things went sideways. He said afterwards he felt comfortable in returning to the court. Yeah, this is, yeah, this, that, and all oh, NBA players, babies, and blah, blah. Man, they had their inner fight too. Yeah, there was
It's not simple.
And the Bucks probably took a step they shouldn't have.
Not without talking to everyone, because
just going unilaterally and saying we're not playing, you put the rest of the Bucks care about social justice, but we don't.
Yeah, because we saw the initial response from when the Bucks did it. A lot of people were applauding the Bucks for their response. You're taking a stand. This is how things change. And what would the rest of the guys in that bubble look like? Go, actually, can we actually play our game? We'd actually like to play. You look awful. So you got to back them even if you don't want to.
Well, and I'm sure there were guys that were saying and asking the same questions of what do we get out of not playing? What are we gaining? Well, how are we changing anything by not playing?
What's the plan, Bucks?
Yeah.
Because eventually we're going to have a plan of action, and it makes us look even worse if we, come back in a couple days and we haven't figured out what we want to do to push the movement forward. So, I mean, who and you, to be honest with you, how many? We don't even know how many of the Bucks players actually wanted to do it.
Right. No, there was no vote.
Yeah, they're obviously not going to tell us that some guys just really weren't all about it. But when you have a push from your veterans, particularly George Hill, who was out in front, and Sterling Brown, who had an altercation with the police where he's suing the Milwaukee Police Department. So they have not only what happened in Kenosha, they have their player on a roster who had an issue. I think Thabo Sevilosha knows some of those guys too, and the police broke his leg in a back and forth in New York, I think, at the time. So there's some deep stuff with the Bucks, and they jumped out in front. And they had everyone else follow, and then you saw the meeting was like, guys, what are we doing? What's the plan? So it appears that whatever was those owners said to them was enough to get the season back underway. And we know something came from it at a minimum. If it's coincidence, so be it. But it feels like that Rockets Toyota Center voting thing where you can go vote at Toyota Center if you are a registered voter in Harris County. Is maybe some of the actions that those players are looking for.
Yep. And it's not only them. There's a few, right?
Yeah, there are other teams who had already announced, but the Rockets were the most immediate thing to happen after the stoppage of play.
Right. How about, and again, man, Tillman, boy, taking it on the chin. 2020, Tillman is getting his ass handed to him.
If we're looking into Tillman's financials, I mean, you can just look from the outside and go, it's been a rough one.
All his restaurants closed. His casinos closed. His basketball season shut down.
Daryl Morey. That happened in 19.
How much did he lose in?
It started in 19 for Tillman.
Goodness gracious. Tillman is on a... Boy, he needs...
He's not taking many L's in his life, but the last year or so, not been great.
Man, he needs a slump buster bad because he's in a slump. 713-780-3776, 1028 ESPN 975.
ESPN 975. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
Texans had a scrimmage last night, kind of. It wasn't like live, although there was hitting involved. Chad Hansen got waylaid by Lonnie Johnson, I guess. Lonnie's a big physical guy. So that happened. Chad Hansen, who you probably never heard of, is a wide receiver that won't make the team. So he got it. Now, if that happened, what if he waylaid a Brandon Cooks?
He knows better than a waylaid.
No, you don't do that.
Brandon Cooks.
Mm-mm. No, you don't do that. So, yeah, Chad Hansen. Oh, well. He's bendable. Not going to be here.
Lonnie, I mean, protect your teammates, but.
Yeah, he's not really going to be his teammate.
Yeah, so don't worry.
They're not really teammates.
We're not going to get really mad at you about that.
They're not really teammates. You know, like real teammates.
You know, guys who are going to be on the roster against Kansas City.
I keep hearing, and you know what? I'm telling you, even yesterday, Bill O'Brien brings up Jacob Martin. It just seems like that dude's name just keeps coming up and coming up and coming up. I was on with AJ yesterday. We did a video. I think Jacob Martin's going to have more sacks than Whitney Mercilus this year. Whitney had 12 one year, and that's the only double-digit sacks he's had. He's a 7-sack guy.
And you think Jacob Martin is a 9-sack, 9-10-sack guy? Or do you think Whitney's just going to have an awful
year? I think he's going to have plenty of opportunities, because who's on that other side that's going to rush the passer?
There's no one of any substance.
No. I mean, Brendan Scarlett's going to be out there in pass situations. Amenihue's going to play down with his hand on the ground. JJ. There's. I mean, honestly. And by the way, It's not like you're leaping tall buildings and getting past Whitney Mercilus.
That's true, but Jacob Martin certainly hasn't had these opportunities that you're predicting he'll have, but he also hasn't produced anywhere near Mercilus's level, even in the years we're looking at and saying, you went like 9 games without a sack. It would be a large jump in production. I thought you just meant Whitney was going to be a complete non-factor, and Jacob Martin might have 5 or 6, and Whitney was going to have an awful year. If he produces like 9 sacks, that is a great find, and the trade for Clowney looks better and better. I don't foresee it. So what are we saying? 9, 10, 8, 7? What's the number for Jacob Martin?
I think he'll probably have around 8. You know what? He picked up a few right at the end of the season.
He did. And some pressures as well. He had 3.5 last year and did have some pressures. He looked like a twitchy guy who could bend the edge and use his speed to get to the quarterback.
And he looks like he worked this offseason.
And he's only 24. It's not like he's been in the league long enough where we have a clear definition of what he is as a player.
I'm gonna take Jacob Martin. Maybe I'll probably get odds on that, but I'm gonna take Jacob Martin in that race against Whitney Mercilus, against $54 million Whitney Mercilus. And then the other guy, I mean, I read these transcripts every day. The other guy that's always in them is John Reed. And he's a guy that you almost have to have. You almost have to have play well, because your other option is not Conley, it's Hargraves. Conley's on the field, Roby's on the field, and if John Reed can get on the field, that means you don't have to have a safety in the slot.
If John Reed and Jacob Martin have the years well, at least in Jacob Martin's case, what you're predicting, and John Reed follows up the hype of a preseason with a good year, it makes me feel quite a bit better about how this team is constructed defensively, because currently you don't have legitimate pass rushers and you have cornerbacks with question marks. If you can fill some of that with unheralded guys, first of all, it means you don't have to pay another guy a lot of money to take up those positions. And it means your team is built better. Corners, covering guys and getting to the pass rusher, that's how you win now. And the Texans aren't built that way. And that's why you have multiple scrap heap first-round picks on your roster, guys that no other teams didn't want.
Well, and it also means, that you're doing they did a pretty good job in drafting Justin Reed. They did a really good job in Titus Howard and the other guard. Actually pretty good football players. And if it continues without Brian Gain, if this year's crop, if Grenard can get on the field, if he can play, Blacklock, if John Reed, if Heck turns out to be a player, you're going to feel okay, actually.
Yeah, you will.
About what they're doing.
And you're talking about Max Sharping.
Sharping.
It means you have young, talented, and in some cases, most importantly, cheap labor.
Yep.
That you can depend on under team control.
For four years, because none of them are first rounders, except Howard.
And it makes up for some of the mistakes you've made, whether in free agency.
Well, it means you have turned a corner in your draft in that you're actually getting players outside of the first round.
And you can build a total roster with those guys. It just makes your job infinitely easier to be competitive for years, because we know at some point Deshaun's going to get his money. And Whitney's still on the books, and JJ, who knows how long he'll be on the books, and all the money into the wide receiver core. If you can find a way to draft guys who are on the cheap and can play, it makes some of these questionable decisions as far as giving money to guys who aren't productive mean a little bit less, because you have cheaper guys who can play.
Well, and there's two ways to look at the draft. John Schneider does it differently. He doesn't give a rat's ass about first round picks. And he's done a pretty damn good job, he got Earl Thomas in the first round, but he got most of that defense. I mean, and he got some pretty damn good football players, like Richard Sherman in the fifth round. The big safety that was on the Legion of Doom.
Cam Chancellor?
Yeah, Cam Chancellor. I mean, that's I believe he was also a fifth rounder. the big line, Malcolm Smith was a seventh rounder. If you can do that well, they've got to make up for two first rounders for Deshaun, two firsts and a second for Tunsil and Stills. You've got to make up for those somehow, some way. If you can, Greenard, if Blacklock, if Reed, if Justin and John Reed turn into players, you're doing a pretty damn good job.
Yeah.
Justin Reed is playing like a first round player.
And it just supplements. You went and acquired star players at premium positions with those picks through trade. And in some cases, you gave up in people's eyes too much. But like you said, if you do the John Snyder method and get premium players from day two and day three of the draft, your first round picks don't mean that much because what you use them for were a left tackle and a quarterback. And you can backfilled the other positions, second, third, fourth, fifth, with corners and safeties and defensive linemen. Then you can kind of justify, well, okay, we gave up a lot of picks, but you know what we did? We got a Pro Bowl left tackle, and we used an extra first round pick to get our quarterback of the future. And we can draft players, so we've got this kind of figured out.
Yep. I got Wallace Marsh asked me, what do Brady Anderson, George Springer, and Altuve have in common?
I don't know.
Dramatic drop-offs. Brady Anderson was from steroids, and Jose Altuve and George Springer, this is too small a sample size.
Yeah, and it's not the power numbers we're most concerned with Jose Altuve. It's just getting on base
and if the intimation is that they're falling off because they don't have the trash cans anymore. I'm gonna hold off on that because I believe them. I know someone on the team that said we quit, we stopped doing it,
and Major League Baseball didn't find any
years ago
of 2019, right. And they were just fine.
Right, 2018 they had quit it. They started it. It wasn't working. They were just like, we got to stop this. Yeah. This is not working. And so Jose Altuve did not drop off until this year.
And there's a lot of different circumstances for this year. We get the impression that Jose Altuve is just a very nice guy, doesn't want any drama. Who knows what mentally is playing on him with all this on him? You got the weird. What was that?
Wow. That was an explosion. That's not.
Yeah, that's not thunder.
That's not thunder.
That's not weather related. I don't know if you guys could hear it, but there's like a boom. The power just flickered. Yeah, I don't think that was natural. Yikes. I don't know what that was.
Yikes.
We might have to turn on a news station very quickly. I don't know if you guys are out and about. You probably felt it or heard it too. But we heard a boom, and then the lights just flickered for a little bit. We still have power, but that didn't seem normal. Wow.
No, that was not normal. If you're in the Galleria area, tweet us or call us and tell us what the hell that was, if you got any idea. 10:42 ESPN 97.5. News of the Weird coming your way next. Don't go anywhere.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
All right. Ooh, this is something different, Dell. Are you worried about this? California wildfires are making wine grapes taste like barbecue. Are you worried about that?
I'm not a wine drinker, so no. I mean, there's nothing more I can say because it's not going to affect me at all.
The FDA is warning everyone, don't drink hand sanitizer, even if it's in a beer can. So,
how would you know it's in a beer can?
Well, apparently, the FDA issued a warning this week about alcohol-based hand sanitizers being packaged in containers that may look like food or drink items. According to the agency, some hand sanitizers are being packaged in beer cans, children's food pouches, water bottles, juice bottles, and vodka bottles. Why would you package...
Why would I want a novelty hand sanitizer?
Well, maybe if you're making your own or something, I guess you'd put them in whatever.
Man, we're not... I think... Aren't we past the point where that's scarce? Where we can't find hand sanitizer anywhere? That we still need to make our own?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like we're bootlegging it and running it into Dallas or something. I can go to CVS and get hand sanitizer. We still need this. It's still a thing.
What do you think the sexiest accent is? From what state?
Oh, from the state? I thought we were talking about countries.
State or city?
I don't know city specific accents. Sexy. I think I'm partial to a southern accent. I don't mind it so much. I like it.
Texan is number one.
I don't even notice anyone who has a Texan accent
anymore. I do. There are still Texan accents out there. There are plenty.
Well, to be fair, I don't really venture much outside of the Houston area.
Yeah.
So that's probably, you're right. I'm sure if I went to Lubbock or something.
No, you would hear it.
I would hear it or wherever.
It's the second year in a row that the Texan accent came out on top.
People find Texan accents.
Congratulations to us.
Do they still think we all ride, anyone who lives here rides a horse to work? Do they still believe that?
Yes, they think that. And wears cowboy hats and boots.
How giant is your belt buckle?
I have a ginormous belt buckle. Second is New York, which I can't believe. Third is Boston, which
that's
I,
not sexy.
Fourth is sexy. Alabama. Fifth is Chicago.
How could a Boston?
None of those are.
Boston accent's not sexy.
Alabama, maybe. A girl that's got an Alabama accent.
I don't mind
accent.
A draw from a southern girl, it's pretty good. A draw from a southern dude going in the other direction.
Like in the movie Sweet Home Alabama, she had a great accent.
Yeah, I don't mind it. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
But I don't know about it. Why a New York accent so attractive?
California's six. Like, what up, dude? Radical, man. No, that sucks. That's not...
Well, you're
talking... Philadelphia's seven. This whole thing sucks.
Well, a California girl, I don't care about... Yeah, to your point, the California dude, who cares about the... We're guys. Who cares about the California dude accent? I'm down with the beach. A girl who loves the beach and they speak a certain way.
No, that's different.
I'm down with it.
Yeah.
Who has a different way of speaking because they're a beach girl. I'm with it. But yeah, I don't care what the California dude's accent. They all suck.
So apparently, there is a former Liberty student who allegedly had a sexual encounter with Becky Falwell.
The Falwells get stuff done.
Man.
Apparently, she was the aggressor in an oral encounter.
Yeah. Yeah. That's aggressive.
She likes to do stuff.
Becky.
Was Jerry there for that one too?
I don't know. He likes to watch, right?
Yeah, I'm not going to use the C word anymore. I'm just going to call people Jerry's.
Jerry's? That's all they are?
Sorry, people with that name, but you now are synonymous, at least for me, with sitting in a corner watching stuff.
Apparently, a former Liberty University student says Becky Falwell jumped into bed with him and performed while he stayed over at the Falwell home after a band practice with her eldest son in 2008. Wow. She's aggressive. The Falwells get stuff done, even if they're just watching.
And I'm glad we're done here because I think the air conditioning is out.
Really?
Because of that power surge. Shout out to the press box and who else follows them. I don't know if you're going to enjoy the next couple hours, unless it gets fixed. Because I think it's off. I don't think it works.
You know, there's a big electricity box right next door here across the street. I've seen had problems before. So that might be it. We heard a big boom here recently. So a woman bought she went to a store. Authorities say that she bought a package of smoked turkey tails. But when she opened it up, it was in the shape of a penis.
I didn't even know you could buy smoked turkey tails.
Hmm. Yeah. It just, I don't think I'm not that hungry anymore. I'm just not that hungry.
I'm more offended that that's the part of the turkey you decided to buy. Of all the parts, you wanted the turkey tail? What is that a delicacy I don't know about?
I don't.
Is that great meat that I'm not aware of?
It didn't
of?
Look like great meat.
No.
Well, but it was also in the shape of a penis, so.
Oh, there's a picture of it?
It didn't look, yeah.
So
it,
the turkey tail was molded into a shape of, yeah, like a human penis?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
boy.
Pretty much. Hey, here's a study. If you make your bed, chances are you will have more sex. Do you make your bed every morning?
No, not every morning.
You don't?
No. Is it? From a man's perspective, it shows that you're neat, so a woman will more likely have sex with you.
Nearly 4 in 10 Americans say it would be a total turnoff to date someone who doesn't make their bed.
Yeah, I'm not dating someone right now, so I get that. Like, if I was...
But if you took her home?
Yeah. Oh, if I knew something was going to... Yeah, I would make
the
bed.
Yeah, what if you didn't make your bed that morning? Would you feel... Yeah, you'd feel like...
If I thought there was an opportunity, I would make my bed. And by the way, considering the type of work we do, I'm done at 11. I can go home and make my bed. And then go about
True.
My night. Yeah.
Well, but, you know, sometimes you're, hey, look what happened. I didn't know this was going to happen tonight. And your bed's unmade. Well, sorry, I'm not going to have sex
with you. I get that
you.
For normal people, but because I don't go out and drink,
yeah,
the whole I didn't know something was going to happen thing is probably off the table for me.
So you always know when you're going
to
get some?
Pretty much, because right. I'm not picking anyone up at a bar because I don't go to bars.
Mm. All right. How about Hattie B's is looking at Houston?
Well, then Raheel won't have to drive 800 miles like he did to go.
Was it worth it, Raheel?
It's on YouTube. He put it up on YouTube early in the pandemic phase when he was no longer with us. He went to Hattie B's and drove there, I guess because people said, hey, do that.
Hattie B's hot chicken. How about that?
Look, I love some hot chicken. I'm not driving 800 plus miles like Raheel did. But if they come to town, I'll try it out. Definitely.
Bride and groom, they were getting married, a couple from Massachusetts. Apparently, the groom, he says, I don't know, he's giving his vows or whatever, and he says, 2020 has not been the best year, and immediately lightning struck.
Is that an omen not to get married?
Or don't be talking about 2020.
2020 said,
you've been watch
real,
this.
You've been real flagrant with your words lately. Watch well, yourself. Yeah. Watch your mouth.
Watch your...
Or
keep me out your mouth.
Do you think 2020 was bad? I'll make it worse for you. Keep playing games.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, he's getting married, so it can't be. It can't get any worse.
Yeah. Which is worse, getting married or struck by lightning?
Do I die from the lightning strike?
No.
Then getting married.
Married, because that lasts forever.
Yeah, the lightning strike is a one-time event that makes shake you up, certainly, but you're married to this person for at least a good amount of time.
Unless you...
You can get a divorce, yeah, certainly.
You can do that right away.
But it's more costly to get a divorce and get struck by lightning.
Missouri lawmakers advanced a bill Monday that would legally allow people to give firearms to children without their parents' permission. Recklessly giving guns to minors without parents' permission is currently a misdemeanor offense under Missouri law. But the state house, in a voice vote Monday, advanced a bill that would axe the crime.
Okay.
It's no longer a crime.
I'm not a gun person, but I'm not a person who says people shouldn't have guns. What is the benefit of giving a kid that isn't yours a firearm? What's the reasoning? Why would a kid that isn't yours need a firearm from you?
I know. Well, I guess this is it's happening quite a bit in Missouri.
And they don't want to jail people for it?
Police said the aim of the proposed gun policy changed. Well, the governor tried to get it so it would become a felony if you gave a kid a gun.
Okay.
And they said no, apparently, and they voted it down, so now it's not even a misdemeanor. They shifted gears after reexamining current law, which some said it would allow grandparents and other family members to be charged with a misdemeanor for taking children hunting without their parents' permission.
That makes more sense. You're including family. How about you just make it a law that if you're not related to the child, you can't hand them a weapon?
How about that even hunting, you should have the parents' permission? I don't care if you're grandparents. The parents should say,
To be fair, yeah, you can't take the kid to do anything without the parents
without the parents' permission.
Yeah, that should be just across the board.
But they said, well, no, because if grandparents and aunts and uncles can take them hunting, so we don't want to arrest them.
How about did they ask the parents first?
No, without permission.
If they didn't, then they shouldn't be going.
No,
hunting. They shouldn't be going anywhere.
Don't give my kid a gun without me telling you it's okay.
I don't have a kid. Don't take my kid to your local Dairy Queen without my permission.
Yeah, don't take my kid out in the front yard without. My permission.
In that case, it would be my kid, my rule.
Hand size. How about this? Hand-sized biting spiders are coming to your home looking for sex. Do you want to have sex with a hand-sized biting spider?
Did they not put a comma in there? Because it makes it sound like they're looking to have sex with humans.
Yeah, I think they are. Well, they're in the hunt for a mate.
Yeah, but it makes it sound like...
They're looking for sex, Dell. Do you want to... If a hand-sized biting spider comes by, do you feel like you would have the urge to have sex with
I think the all-important question is what's the spider look like?
Thank
because
you.
That's your question. Why wouldn't it apply to the spider?
1056, ESPN 97.5. Y'all have a great weekend. The press box is next in a heat wave.
This is Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Go Bucks.